Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Hi, I'm Harriet Thomas. Welcome to There's a Walk for That. I'm not a doctor or a fitness expert, just someone who discovered a simple daily habit that transformed my health and my happiness. From easing stress to boosting your energy, there really is a walk for that. Each week, I explore the power of walking and share simple tips to help you make it part of your day. And I bring you our trail mix, three songs chosen by my guests to reflect their life and their passions. I've got something special for you too. My book, Walk Yourself Wonderful, is launching soon. If you're interested in discovering a powerful daily practice that works in harmony with your body's natural design to help you go from frazzled and fatigued to fit and full of joy, then find me on Facebook or Instagram at Feel Good Walk. Just DM me the word joy to join the waiting list and get the book before its official release at half price. So let's get on with the show. So today my guest is Julia Mountfield, who, together with her husband Derek, runs a golfing coaching academy called Knowing My Game. And you may be thinking, hang on a minute, this show is about walking your way to health. What has that got to do with golf? But bear with me, all will become clear. So Julia and I met recently through the same business community. And a quick shout out here to Nick Starb and the Masters of Influence Business Academy, which is absolutely one to look up if you're thinking about turning your passion into profit. And when I told Julia about my book, Walk Yourself Wonderful, and the academy I'm building around it, she said something that really stopped me in my tracks. She said, well, if you like walking, you should play golf. So that really intrigued me because I'm passionate about encouraging people to weave walking into their everyday lives. So whether that's taking light bulb walks with colleagues to spark ideas, stepping out for a 20-minute circuit breakers during a workday, or choosing simply to walk instead of drive. But I've never really thought about gamifying walking, which in a way is what Julia is talking about. Like if you love walking, you add a small white ball and a long stick and you turn it into a competitive sport. So today we're going to explore how golf may be your secret weapon to building up your step count and spending more time in nature and making friends and being part of a community. And we're also going to explore how Julia's smart system for improving your golf game can actually be applied to getting the outcomes you want in all areas of life, whether that's your daily walking practice or your career pathway. So we've got a lot to talk about, Julia. Welcome, first of all, to the show.
Thanks, Harriet. I appreciate that.
It's really great to have you here. And I'd love it if you can tell us more about yourself and how you and your husband came to create the Knowing My Game Academy.
Okay, yeah, thank you. It came about throughout COVID, to be honest. We'd both already been golfers, but not to the level that we are now. I took up the game in 2011 and I was still working, doing my corporate job down in Canary Wharf, living away from home. My husband was back home in Yorkshire, sorry, actually in Cheshire where we lived at the time, and was a member of the golf club, and he'd basically play golf while I was away working. He's 12 years older than myself, so he'd got a part-time job in schools working with autistic children. He was the special needs coordinator over on the Wirral. So he'd play golf to fill in the time while I was working away. I'd play half a dozen times in the year, but I wasn't addicted to it like I am now. Golf is a very addictive sport. So when COVID came along and we had the, was it 40 minutes a day that we could leave the house and go and do some exercise, the golf courses were closed and we just had to walk on the pavements and in the local park. And I didn't like it. It made my right hip hurt And I think it was just the posture. I know we spoke about that when we met a couple of weeks ago. And when we came back from COVID, I just played loads more golf because we were working from home. We had more time because our lifestyle had still been restricted. Not everything opened up. But I was then walking on the grass and I had plenty of time to play. So that's when I really got into it. And that's how we decided to create the academy, because it was just a better environment for walking a lot more and our health and fitness than just going out of your front door and just walking wherever you could.
Yeah, I think that's so true what you say about the difference between walking on grass and walking on pavements, because without doubt, walking on pavements is quite stressful, like for your feet and your knees and your hips, as you say. And even when you're in a park, a lot of the paths in the park are asphalt. So it's that same hard surface. So yeah, I can see how that, you know, walking on grass is such a different experience, isn't it?
It certainly is. But what attracts me about golf is there's so many different golf courses. You've got the trees, you've got the wildlife, but you're actually stopping and taking it in every 150 to 200 yards. So you're pausing. You're not just going on a non-stop walk. You've got that thought process, what club you're taking, where you're going to, and navigating yourself around the course. So it's that distraction that I really like about a walk, not just you're pounding and trying to get the fitness in and using your arms, you know, and you're marching up that hill. Because when we were in COVID, that's pretty much all we did. We had to create our own exercise and our own routines to actually get that cardiovascular system working, and walking at a very slow pace doesn't allow that, so you really have to try and make that happen. And in golf, some of the golf courses have got good inclines, you can do that, but you have to moderate your breathing and make sure that you are ready for the next shot. You don't want to be tired out when you get there. So lots of complexities around walking around a golf course and playing. It's not just as simple as a walk.
Yeah, I love the way you've immediately brought in that kind of mindfulness aspect, which is something I really like about walking, you know, and the importance of stopping when you're walking, which is something I've only recently discovered. You know, I used to always like pretty much walk at a very fast pace, you know, however long the distance was. But I've really learned to like slow down and to stop, because that's when you get those moments of mindfulness and you really appreciate and see and tune in to the nature around you. But it kind of how you're describing golf is very different to my preconceptions of golf, because like one of my favorite films is The Way, starring Martin Sheen. And if you haven't seen it, it's a really fantastic film. And it's about a retired doctor who ends up walking the Spanish pilgrimage route, the Camino de Santiago, which I think is on a lot of people's bucket list. So what always sticks with me is how the film opens. So he's this like really super successful, wealthy American doctor. And we see him on the golf course with his friends, and he's being driven around in a buggy and he's barely walking at all. And so it's a real contrast to the kind of slow, meaningful walking journey that unfolds later in the film. So I guess I've always seen golf as almost the opposite to walking. I always think of golf as like golf buggies, beer in the clubhouse. So like, I'm really curious if someone wants to get the most out of golf, not just as the game, but in terms of fitness and movement and being in tune with nature, how do you approach that?
That's quite an interesting take on it. Back a few decades ago, perhaps 2 decades ago, the late 90s, in America, doctors used to prescribe golf as a medicine. So because people were more overweight, cardiovascular systems being crushed, they actually prescribed golf so that people went out and did this walking without actually thinking they're doing an exercise. And they actually had to stop because most people then decided to take a cart. So they wasn't getting that walking and health benefit of playing golf. Now, in a lot of the warmer countries like Dubai, Spain, the courses mandate that you do have a buggy, so you're not doing that walking. And that's mainly because you want to get the speed of play around the course, but also with the heat, you've got the shade with you. You're out in the open for 4 to 5 hours, so you don't want that intense heat on your head and body. But what we tend to do when we are when we've got a cart, is one of us drive and they've got the clubs on the back, and the other one walk some of the holes. But you'll actually find, even if you've got a buggy, by the time you've got in and out and walked to your ball, then walked into the trees if you've hit it to the right or left off the fairway and into any of the hazards, you actually end up walking just as much, even if you've got a buggy, than you do when you don't. You can't take the buggy right up to the green or the tees, so you've got to step out and at least do a 30 to 40 yard walk. So you've actually got a different style of fitness with the climbing in and climbing out, but you are still walking even if it looks like you're not. So it's quite a misconception, is that one, Harriet?
Yeah, definitely. I obviously need to try.
You certainly do. You're more than welcome to come and have a round with me anytime.
Thank you very much. You'll have to take it gently with me. Only beginner.
So we accept beginners. That's what it's all about, getting everyone included in it.
That's great. Well, actually, that is another factor, because also golf, certainly in England, has been seen as quite, well, two things, I suppose, very male-dominated and quite elite.
Absolutely. When we say elite, certainly the youngsters, they're certainly on the elite path if they've grown up with a golf club in the hand with their parents playing. But then not so much elite, but more on a wealth spectrum of affluence rather than elitism. So having the money to join the golf clubs, it's always been quite a wealthy sport. Even the equipment can be quite expensive, so we have to make it more affordable and accessible to get everyone involved in it.
Welcome back. You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, here on UK Health Radio. And this is the show where we explore how you can use the superpower of the daily walk to transform your physical and mental health. And today I'm talking with Julia Mountfield from online golfing academy Knowing My Game. And on your website, Julia, which listeners can find at knowingmygame.co.uk, you share a quote from the great American golfing legend, Bobby Jones, which I really liked. And it says, "Golf is the closest thing to the game we call life. You get bad breaks from good shots and good breaks from bad shots, but you play the ball as it lies." And I think that captures something really powerful, not just about golf, but about how we navigate life itself. And so I'd love to dive into that through the lens of your coaching. And I know that you've built your coaching around a framework that you call the SMART system. And that first letter, the S, stands for schedule, which really, really resonated with me, because I'm a big believer in scheduling when it comes to walking. Because if we want the physical and the mental benefits, it can't just be something that we hope to fit in. It has to be something we decide to make time for, because we're all so busy. And if it's not in the diary, it's very easy for the day to just run away with us. And before we know it, we're still sitting with that same backache and that same frazzled mind and that same sense of overwhelm. So I'd love that this is where your system begins. So can you tell us more about the role of schedule in your SMART framework and why that is the starting point for change?
Absolutely. It is the key and most fundamental element of my system. The reason I put it as schedule was because of my corporate background, because of my business processes, that everyone becomes a busy fool. And you don't have time for yourself and loved ones around you. So in terms of being able to play golf, if you're going to do a full round, it's 4 hours. You can't just rush. And too many people find the excuse of, I haven't got time to play golf because it is this 4 hours. Now, I'm actually writing a book around time and creating time. And my principles are, everyone does the 9-to-5 job. That's the first thing in their calendar because they have to do it because they need the money to have their lifestyle and their personal living. everyone has their child's after school clubs or whatever their hobby is for their child, but they always forget about themselves. So you need to schedule your own time that you're purposefully putting that in the diary and making it happen, because otherwise you become resentful of other things because they're taking over. So for me, getting the 4 hours in the diary twice a week with people that join my program is the key thing, whether that's a weekday or a weekend. What I do is work with them on what their 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. at night looks like. And instead of having small tasks that take 15 minutes but end up wasting an hour, I then pull this time together and create larger time blocks. So I basically defragment people's calendars and get useful blocks of time to do a more useful amount of work.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
As it is physical, so stay listening. You don't have to be a golfer to learn from Julia's mindset tips.
You run a golfing academy, but you're starting with this, like, well, as you say, the crucial question, how do I fit golf into my life? How do I build that? How do I start from what I want to do and create the schedule so that works?
The golf is actually a side benefit, because that is what my game is. And I love golf and I want people to play golf. But where I come in as a specialist is from my business and corporate background. So I've actually got a program within the academy, which is Business Fit, my Spark personal trainer for business. And this is where it's your time. You either use it or lose it. And so many people lose that much time every day by not using it and using it in the right time. One of my biggest frustrations is people coming to me and saying, can we do that? Yeah, let's do it at 10 o'clock. And they turn up 15, 20 minutes early. And then they say to you, oh, I thought you'd be here early. Why would you be here early? You've agreed 10 o'clock. And then my other frustration is, if you've agreed 10 o'clock and someone turns up at 20 past, why is their time more important than yours? Now we've got mobile phones, people take it that they can just ring up or message and say, I'm going to be late. No, I'm sorry. My time is very precious and I structure it that I create these blocks and I use them most efficiently and effectively, which gives me the lifestyle that I desire.
I love that. And I think that's something that me for sure, and I'm sure everyone listening can take away, that mindfulness and respect of time and also power around time. That's what I really hear from what you're saying, is that time is your gold, if you like, and you nurture it and you're careful with it and you make it work for you to create the work, the life that you want.
And the life for my mentees. That's what we do. We focus on the schedule. We get them creating these blocks of time so that they can use them to their most advantageous.
Fantastic. And the second letter in your SMART system is M, obviously, and that's M for mindset. So again, this is another of these huge concepts. You know, you look like a golfing academy, but you do so much more. And I think mindset is such a powerful determinant in how we live our lives. You know, it shapes whether we go after our goals or whether we hold ourselves back, and how we respond as well when things get tough. And I really got to understand this when I was walking the 1,200 miles from Land's End in Cornwall to John O'Groats in Scotland back in 2024. I discovered that mindset was just as important as physical fitness in getting me over those miles, because once my mindset started to give up, it was so hard, like, to get my body to keep moving. And I had all sorts of mindset boosters. You know, I had audiobooks, I had jelly babies, I had phone calls to friends, you know, to keep my mind positive so that my body could do what it needed to do. So I'd love to hear more about your approach to mindset, like how you develop it, how you work with it in your coaching, and whether it's something that extends beyond golf into the wider way that you live your life?
Absolutely, it does. Mindset is all about the confidence from within. Golf is an individual sport, a very lonely sport when you're out there for 4 hours. If you hit one bad shot, it's easy to negative down and just lose your round. It's all about staying positive, staying in the present. We work on mindset using our smart app, where we have a record of our 10 best shots, one with a driver, one with a 3-wood, one with a 5-iron, 6-iron. We go through all the clubs in the bag so that when you're struggling out there on that lonely day where the rain's coming in, your opponent may be playing mind games with you, the awareness on the course, you can actually pull on these best shots that you've previously recorded so that you're always able to knock that chimp off your shoulder and put that real positive chimp in there telling you that you are the best, that you can do this, that you can pull this shot off, that you've seen it before. So we use a lot of visualization, confidence building, things that we've done in the past so that we know that we can replicate. So we're using the deja vus and everything about not only getting that ball to the hole, but if you're playing an opponent, how you play against that opponent. Because everyone thinks in golf, oh, it's match play. We have to win every hole. No, you don't. You only need to win one hole to win. You only need to be one up on the 18th. So one of the ladies I work with, she was always trying to win every hole. So she was always putting herself under pressure and she was forcing her own errors. In match play in golf, you want to force the other person to make the error so that you can just play nice golf. So we work on the mindset, no matter whether it's on golf or whether it's on your business, that you can achieve whatever you want to achieve. You've got the tools to achieve it. We just need to know which tools to use when and how.
Welcome back. You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, here on UK Health Radio. And this is the show where we explore how you can use the superpower of the daily walk to transform your physical and mental health. And today I'm talking with Julia Mountfield from Knowing My Game, which is a golf academy with a difference. It helps people improve their game whilst also prioritising their time so they can be successful at work and successful on the course. And we've been talking about your smart system, Julia, and I really love how those first two elements, the scheduling and the mindset, are things you can apply to almost any area of life, you know, where you want to grow or find a sense of mastery. So I'm very, very eager to explore the next two parts of your framework. I'm really looking forward to seeing what you say about them. So you have A for awareness and R for results. So what do awareness and results mean in your system? How do they help someone progress, both in their game and more broadly in life?
Okay, well, we'll take the first one, awareness. There's two elements to awareness. One is your own self-awareness and what you're doing, how you're doing it, and what effect you have on your own self-sabotage or your own self-confidence, but then also against other people that you're either in competition with, whether that's in business or on the golf course. So awareness is very much what you're doing and how you're doing it, and what the other person is doing and how they're doing it, and how they can affect you. So if I give you the example on a golf course, when you're one-on-one in match play, people say things that just put negative things into your mind. Oh, do you know there's trees there? Do you know there's a ditch there? Because it's their home course and you might not be aware. But they just put these doubts and thoughts into your mind that you might not necessarily want. They might be playing with their bag and unzipping things and rattling things when you're preparing mentally to take your shot. They may walk down a particular part which is in your vision. There's all sorts of little tips and tricks that they do that's called gamesmanship. And the more you know about it, the more you can then just switch off. But also, you can confirm that you're not doing that to them. Because to me, you shouldn't really care what anyone else is doing on the golf course. It's you against the course, not you against another person. If you play the course and play the course well, you'll probably beat the other person anyway. So it's all about the awareness around your environment and yourself and how you handle that. Going on to results. Now, golf is the most amazing game that I, as a 50-year-old lady, can play with a 15-year-old, 18-year-old girl or boy that might be a +2 handicapper, can hit it 300 yards and is very skilled. Or I could play with a 70-year-old gentleman that may have been very good in a earlier in his career and now is going up. The handicap system allows us all to play together regardless, and that is what I love about it. You meet so many different characters and so many different experiences on there. Now, myself, who plays off three, I've got aspirations to become a scratch golfer. I'd love to not have to take any shots off the course and just be able to go around in the par that it says. Some people might need 15 shots or 18 shots, so one shot a hole, and that helps them get round. So results are all what you want the result to be. For some people, it may just be finishing 18 holes. For some people, it might be, I want to break 100. So it might be a par 72, 72 shots I need to take. If they take 90, that's 18 shots. If they've broken 100, 28 shots above. So your results can differ. You've all got your different goals and objectives when you start and tee off. So your results are not necessarily, I have to win. Your wins are your own shots, your own game, your own health, your own wellness, even just clearing that head and doing 18 holes. So we work on what is it that you want to achieve? What does good look like for you? Because this is your game, no one else's. It's your journey.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, and with my guest, Julia Mountfield. We're talking about what does winning look like to you?
I think it's very transferable to walking as well, because I think, you know, sometimes you sort of see on Instagram, you know, people who are hiking these kind of huge mountains, or, you know, they're doing kind of what look like really strenuous, difficult hikes. And that might put some people off, like, well, I can't do that. But it's irrelevant. It's like, what can you do? It's like asking, what can you do? What is a win for you?
Absolutely.
You know, and that's such a powerful way to look at life, because then we stop comparing ourselves to other people. Because there's always going to be someone better than you, and there's always going to be someone worse than you. And so that's irrelevant, but it's like, what is a win for you? I think is a beautiful, beautiful question. So I love that. Great way. It's so philosophical, the way you're talking about golf. There's so much philosophy in it. You know, this, what you're talking about awareness of yourself, how you're responding, how you're reacting. To me, this is mastery over who you are in life.
Absolutely. And this is what Bobby Jones's quote was all about. For anyone listening that doesn't know who Bobby Jones is, he was the greatest amateur golfer ever. He never turned professional. He won all the amateurs in the same year. I've got so much respect for him. And he actually became wheelchair bound and got a medical disease that actually stopped him continuing. And this is where his quote comes from, as you have to play the ball as it lies, is that is him actually referring to his illness and having to take it and play his life out in a different way. And the legacy that Bobby Jones has brought is now in Atlanta, there's the Bobby Jones Foundation, and the foundation is there to make golf accessible to everyone, not just the affluent and the ones that have got talent.
Welcome back. You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, here on UK Health Radio. And today I've been talking with Julia Mountfield from Knowing My Game. And we have covered so much ground today, not just about golf, but about how to do life. So to bring it all together, what would be your top three tips for listeners, both in terms of improving their golf game and in how they can apply these same principles to achieve their goals in any area of life?
My number one top tip would be, whatever you do, enjoy it. If you enjoy it, then your confidence will just grow. Everything just seems easier if you enjoy it. Don't make it a chore. Don't force it. Just try and relax and enjoy.
Great advice.
My second tip would be to never compare yourself to others. It's irrelevant. You don't need to. Just be yourself and be who you want to be. Third tip would be, just do what you want to do. Just follow your dreams. Yes, you'll hit some bumps in the road, but if you don't follow your dreams, you'll regret it. Time's running out for everyone. Not everyone gets the time that they need to. So make time, follow your dreams, and try and make it happen. It's better to try and fail than not try at all. Otherwise, you've already failed to start with.
Wow. Thank you so much. Those are absolutely top tips that would be worth listening to every day, I think. Thank you so much for coming onto There's a Walk for That to talk about your golf academy, Knowing My Game, and just about how to live life. It's been such a powerful conversation. And so for listeners who want to find out more about you and more about your academy, where can they find you?
www.knowingmygame.co.uk.
That's fantastic. Any socials or anything where they can find you?
I have Instagram, which is Knowing My Game, and Facebook, Knowing My Game as well. But everything's all linked off the website, so that's the best place.
Go to the website and you'll find everything you need.
Yeah. And thank you very much for the opportunity to come and have a chat with you this morning. I think it's amazing what you're doing, Harriet, and just get everyone out there enjoying the outdoors and enjoying life.
Thank you so much, Julia. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. Take care.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. And I've got to confess, I'm feeling quite eager to try out golf now. And I know I'll be heading to Knowing My Game for my coaching. But in the meantime, I'll be scheduling my walks, because walking is my key to a calm, creative mindset and a healthy body. So don't forget, if you'd like to join the waiting list for my upcoming book, Walk Yourself Wonderful, you can find me on Instagram or Facebook at Feel Good Walk. Just DM me the word joy and I'll send you a link to the waiting list. Until next week, happy walking.